Hi there, I'm Serena. Welcome to Halos of Home, a Radio Mariam podcast. Today we have the beautiful Kami talking about what home means to her. Can you please introduce yourself for us, dear?
Yay! So I'm Kami, I'm 24, I'm from France, and I'm currently a volunteer for AVC in Gyumri. And when I grow up, I want to be an adventurer, but I feel like I'm already am right now. So it's really cool. And I'm really happy, excited to be here, like interviewed by my close friend Serena.
Bless you. Thank you, darling. Why do some people find home at an early age, though for others, it takes some great awakening or a moment later in life?
In my opinion, we all have a chance of home when we're born, because when we're born, most of the times we're in a loving family and people want us to be here and wants us to feel good and welcome and warm in the world. And so we have a chance to do it. It especially depends on the other, like on our close family and on us a bit if we want to be part of this home. But also some of us don't have the chance of it and we have to build our own home, or simply we go from one home to the other. We go from the parents to a family of our own or a group of friends or anything that we could deem home at a personal level. But also there are some people who are so close with their family right from the beginning that they still stay together even when they have a new home, just like the home expands. And so, yeah, I feel sometimes also we just have to go on our own path. Mm. Some of them are really easy and this is really good, and some of them need more time to find another home.
It sounds a bit like luck, because you can't choose the family you're from. So is it depending on whether you're from a loving family or not?
I feel like it's more easier when we are in a loving family to have a sense of home. And this is what's meant to be, I guess. This is what everyone should be able to have. But yeah, often also, sadly, there's other contexts than ours. There's war and there's things like this where the family can still be loving when there's war, but it's always more complicated. Some people lose their family or something like this. But also there's simply family that doesn't have a good alchemy, or just parents who don't really know how to be here and supportive or have other ways of showing it. And I mean, everyone does their best. Everyone do the best that they can. And so it's okay. We shouldn't have anger towards each other, because for everyone, our first time on Earth. So we should just all be nice to each other. Even though if family doesn't work, we should try to make it work or just find another one, but in peace.
Do you think someone can come from a loving family but not realize it and therefore not identify their sense of home with that?
Yeah, I think it can. I think also perhaps we have, you know, different love languages, and even if the family is really loving and here for the kid, perhaps he cannot satisfy the person. It's just like different languages. We don't understand each other, even though there's love and everything, but yeah, perhaps also the kid doesn't want this.
Can you share the first time that you felt a sense of home? If that's not too personal a question.
No, it's personal, but this is what you're here for. So I think I had a good chance of home. My first home was really great. Both my parents were living in the place. My brother also. We always had people at the home and it was really cool. Then we moved and the other house was really big and I was alone with my father. My mother was working a lot and my brother was living at my aunt's. And so I was kind of isolated in the big home that felt very cold compared to the smaller one with bright colors and everything. And so, yeah, I feel I had kind of a house moment and not a home moment in this period of time, until I lost my grandfather. And during the end of the funeral, when we get out of the church, I was with my cousin and I saw the lights outside of the church, and we were each other holding our hands. We didn't say any words, but we just felt it. There was a moment here. We felt that we were feeling the same thing at the same time, and it was really cool. And this was my first sense of home, because it just like fell on me like this. Because this was my last funeral, my last grandparents alive. Yeah. The one before, I was really alone in it. I remember the church being really dark and me keeping from crying, even though I wanted to cry. I don't know why. I was like, no, I shouldn't be weak, but we all weak. It's a funeral, girl. Just like... And yeah, for the last one, I just cried all of the tears of my body at one point because the pastor forgot to call me on the altar to read a text. I wasn't crying until then, and then I was crying all the tears of my body. And then, yeah, at the end, we just got up and I found my cousin and I wasn't alone anymore.
That's very beautiful.
It was a beautiful moment.
Was it the shared vulnerability that made it feel like home?
Yeah, because we just opened each other's door. we can live next together, but not feeling connected to the people. And at this moment, the door opened themselves. There's too much emotions, it overflows. And so the doors are open, we just connect our two houses or our two homes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it works like this. I feel there was one emotion for two people at this moment.
And it just happened. You didn't plan that.
No.
Yeah, in the center of the moment.
Yeah, I didn't plan on being forgotten by the pastor in the church. Yeah, my cousin was there. It was weirdly perfect at this moment.
And was that the thing that ignited your relationship with your cousin? Because I know that you're very close with her now.
We've always been close. We've always been in holidays together and always had great times. But it was perhaps not functional because we really had great times. But we weren't that emotionally deep together. But like it started from there.
Mm.
And at this point, yeah, it was the person I was the most comfortable with. And so I was okay from now on being open with this person. I can share myself and I can learn about myself also and I can dig deeper.
How do you develop an emotionally intimate relationship with someone that you're actually kind of planning to have that relationship? Because that one sounds like it was a momentary thing that then helped it to ignite and spark. How do you start that from scratch without a heavy emotional experience like that?
I mean, she doesn't have, I mean, I feel like she doesn't have a huge communication past also, so I know we're kind of at the same level, and so we could just start together. And we just went in holidays for the first time, just the two of us, because before there was always our parents or something, someone like this. And you know, it's late time conversations after we had a good laugh and everything, and I was like, oh, what do you think about this? And then we share stories about the family that we thought perhaps no one else had, feelings that we thought that no one else had or something like this.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like this, so it can get personal. It's kind of a signal saying that we can talk about this.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
And I think you feel more at home with yourself when people share experiences that you've also had. Because I felt like that too. I felt that I've had certain experiences and feelings that are totally foreign. Only I've had this experience. But the moment someone else says that they have too, you finally feel at home within yourself.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you feel a bit alienated from yourself, from other people.
Yeah, you don't know if it's a common feeling or not.
Yeah.
And so as you see it in other people, you're like, I can connect with you at least on this level.
Yeah.
And this is, yeah, really satisfactory. Like, we really appreciate it.
It's empowering too, because otherwise it just isolates you and you kind of go more into yourself, make more of a wall.
That's true. That's true. It's like, yeah, you have a feeling that gets deep, that has to grow at one point, and either it grows inside of you or you can share it with someone else and it grows outside.
But I think when you don't feel at home with yourself, then you resort to keeping it in.
Yeah.
Because you think that others are not going to relate to it.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you feel like nobody can understand it, and perhaps also you dismiss your own feelings. You're just like, this is not a good feeling to have, or this is not a good experience.
Let's see. Are we born with a sense of home and can lose this? Or are we required to create a sense of home ourselves? And what does this tell us about human nature?
As I said, I think we all have a chance of home when we're born. And so I think also everyone is looking for a home, even though they don't realize it or they don't want to say it because it might make them feel weak. They think they would seem weak to the other. And so either we have the chance of having it, the luckiness of having it from the beginning, or we have to grow our own. Also, I feel like there's so many opportunities for us to find home on every level. Every friends we can meet, every people we can see, even pets we can have. The house we have, we can just turn it into a home by making it ourselves and everything. And what does it say about human nature? I've always said that humans are not bad by nature. Often when we see the news or stuff like this, my family or just the person I'm seeing the news with are like, oh, I know that humans are intrinsically bad because they're stealing, they're doing this, they're doing this, and I don't agree. I feel like humans are made to be together and to live together. This is how we evolved, and this is how we could grow. We can grow together. We can grow separately from the rest of the people, but it's going to be way harder, and we certainly will be able to go this far than if we are just communitively, living and helping each other out.
You said that everyone is searching for home, and you also said that some people are lucky to have found it at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that they haven't truly found home if they're still searching? Or will those people not be searching because they feel settled in their sense of home?
I mean, when we feel to have a home, it's just certainly that we have found it. Even though if we're born into a home with a loving family, with a loving environment or everything that could be deemed home by ourselves, by each other's standards, I mean, the person that found it, and this is great. They didn't even found it. They just were born into it. And so this is even better for them. Some people either have to look for it afterwards. And I mean, it's part of the time on earth also. Perhaps some people have on their path to have to look for home.
So you think that it's possible to find a sense of home definitively on earth?
Yeah, I do. Definitively means forever?
Yeah.
As if it is temporary or not?
I guess so.
Okay. I feel home is always renewed because often it's depending on the person, often depending on our external environment. We can be a home to ourselves, but often we also need and appreciate to have an environment with people or anything outside of us to make us warm. And as it is external to us, it's always temporary. But when we have our family, God forbid, we can lose members of our family or the people that make us feel like home, or we can have fights or stuff like this. So it's always temporary, but it's up to us and to the home by itself to work it through or to improve, to have more members or something like this. To make it eternal is a bad word. What did you say?
Definitive.
Yeah, to make it definitive.
What about when you find home within yourself? Is that still temporary? That can change your emotional states, change your health changes. Do you think that's also temporary?
Even ourselves, we can change because we're affected by external events.
Yeah.
It's less temporary than the other because, of course, we're more protected within ourselves and it's only depending on ourselves. I'm at peace with myself. I love myself. And so this is good. But I still need to be surrounded by people I love to feel at home, because I'm not someone for whom my own self is sufficient. It's a weird way to say it, but still. I can work with myself as a home, but it's always better with other people. I want to evolve and live with other people with a good surroundings. I wouldn't say that home would be enough just by myself. I can do it. I did it, but I know it's better with others.
So you did it by yourself at one point?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. When I first lived alone, I hurt some people and I realized, oh, this isn't who I want to be. And so I just started to kind of isolate myself to work on myself, because I feel like we can find home if we are ready for it and if we are either the person we want to be or on the path of being the person we want to be. Because otherwise we're just going to attract either people who are like us at the moment, so perhaps not the right kind for us, or we're just going to hurt the person with whom we want to be, friends or family or affectionate partners. So yeah, took time, took a step back, and I was like, okay, I'm going to think. Yeah, I did a lot of introspection for some years. It was a long time.
It was a year-long process of trying to find home within yourself?
Oh, it was several years long, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you still on that journey now?
I think we're all evolving and like on a journey at any point of life, but there's some part of the path that are harder than the other. And yeah, the first part, like the one that made me evolve the most, has passed. Every time I was like, okay, this date is going to be over, this date is going to be over. Now I'm just feeling at peace, so I feel like it's kind of good. And so yeah, it was from when I first started to live alone, when I was 18, up to, I guess, last year or 2 years ago. Because yeah, since a year, year and a half, I feel really comfortable with myself. And so this is what's more important.
That's so young, living alone at 18. By yourself, literally in a new city, by yourself.
Yeah.
At 18?
Yeah.
Wow.
My mother was still working in Paris, and so I went to Paris to do my studies. But she was only here a few days a week during the work week, and sometimes she just weren't there because she has a weird schedule of work. Another subject. So yeah, I was alone most of the time, and then she stopped working, and I was just, yeah, alone. I think perhaps it's pretty common in France. I don't know.
Is that common? 18?
Yeah.
In Australia, I feel, that's not common at all.
Really? Because I feel it is, because many people switch cities to go to their university. There's university housing, and so often people go there. Yeah, at 18. Whenever we graduated high school at 17, 18, after we directly go to university. We don't have one sabbatical or anything. Yeah.
And that's the culture?
Yeah. Most of the people, at least, are doing university after high school. University or institute, like technical institute, but yeah.
What did you study?
I studied for 2 years, a law and economics, a double degree, because it was the double degree that could lead us to the school that has rejected me after high school. And everyone in my degree was here for this purpose, because after 3 years, normally after the bachelor, we have a special path to get into the school. But at one point with the COVID, I just stopped and realized this is not what I want to be. This is just the path that was kind of drawn for me at one point and what I thought I wanted. But this is not me, so I switched afterwards.
What was the thing that you wanted to study?
It was Sciences Po. It's kind of an elite school in France that makes all of the political staff of France. Kind of all of the president went through Sciences Po and all of the ministers.
What made you change your mind about that?
First of all, if I have gotten into Sciences Po, I'm afraid I would have become kind of narcissistic and, you know, just like to listen myself talk. I'm not saying that everyone from Sciences Po is like this. I feel like on me, the effect would have been not being a good person. So I'm glad I had to search and to trouble for sometimes. And so, yeah, I'm glad about it.
How did you know that in advance? Was that just an intuition that if I go, this is how I would turn out? Or did people tell you that?
It was kind of an intuition and also seeing why the people wanted to go there. It's often because, oh, I want to be president or I want to have glory, you know, political glory.
Yeah.
I wanted to have political glory at the beginning. So this is why I wanted to go. So I'm really glad I got rejected because I'm afraid I wouldn't have made the work I've made on myself otherwise.
So I guess our choices would change what home means to us, because maybe if you had went down that path, you would have been a bit deluded and maybe you would have been still actively searching for glory and maybe that would have felt like home to you. And maybe how you're living now would have seemed different, not as settling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. I feel like if I wanted, I went down this path. If I went down this path, yeah, the home I aspire to today, I would have considered it, oh, this is too simple. I really don't know. I know I've always wanted some kind of a close surrounding of me. I know that I've always could have done anything for my friends. But yeah, I could have stayed kind of mean, kind of scheming, stuff like this. And so it would have changed the person I was and so the person I would have been and also by extension the home I would have aspired to.
It's interesting. I'm guessing now when you look at that past version of yourself and what would have eventuated, maybe you would think that's not a real home. That would be more of a house.
Yeah.
Because we made that distinction
before.
How do you understand the distinction between a house and a home?
Smooth transition. I feel the home is just something functional. Like we're just living inside of walls that shelter us from, obviously, the external environment. To be literal with house and home. Yeah, it's necessary to have a roof, to have walls and to have food and everything. This is the lower part of the Maslow pyramid. But it's essential. And obviously, I'm really grateful for having a home. Having a house, sorry. But home is more than this. This is what's above the Maslow's pyramid. This is the fulfillment, the being with persons we love, feeling in a trustful environment. So yeah, I think for the time I was working on myself, I just saw the house as a house. The apartment I was in was just a house. I didn't put any decoration or anything like this.
Didn't you?
No, and I realize now it's so weird. And so since 2 years I have green plants. I'm so glad about it. I really feel this is part of my home. I have green plants. And my mother sent me pictures of it and I'm really glad of seeing it still grows without me. But I know my home now, the apartment I'm living in, is still there. And I know it's there. So yeah, it was just a house. And it's good, at least, to have a house, really. We have to be grateful for this. But home is better.
How come you didn't decorate it at all for years?
You know what?
You didn't even think to?
No.
Really?
No, I really didn't think to. This is how it was for me. It was just really in autopilot, you know? It was just like, okay, there's walls. I have food to eat. I have my computer and I'm just watching videos on it. So this is all I need because this is all is necessary to have for a functioning life and body.
So you didn't consider aesthetic?
No, I didn't consider aesthetic. No.
That's so shocking to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't really decorate. And also, I was always afraid, oh, if I put this here, perhaps after I will not like it anymore. So I didn't want to take a risk in just putting a poster on a wall, which sounds crazy to me now. But yeah, I was really glad. Yeah, the first thing I did with the green plants.
Can you explain autopilot mode a bit? We've talked about this a little before.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable unpacking.
Yeah, of course. I feel I've already unpacked a lot about it. So it's just going to resonate with the other thing I said. Autopilot is just not thinking about aesthetics, basically. It's just what is roughly necessary. So what is roughly necessary? Just to eat. Okay, I was in school. I was in university because people have told me to go. So I was there because it was what I had to do, but not thinking about what I wanted to do, what was the green plans we should have in our life. Yeah, and I had also trouble connecting with people because also I felt my door was closed. I was working inside, like there was a little sign saying work inside. So I couldn't really share or talk really in a deep level with anyone. Autopilot is not thinking about what we want. We're just following the flow. Not in a good way. Not in a way of, oh yeah, let's go to a country for a trip all together with friends. It's just really not making decisions. Basically, it's this, not making decisions.
Like mindlessly living.
Yes, mindlessly living. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a really good way to put it.
I can tell that your journey has been so long because you are not like that at all.
Yeah.
The Camille that I know is...
Oh, yeah.
The complete opposite. You're always making everything happen.
True.
Just the most active, bustling person, bringing people together.
Yeah.
Starting a writing group, starting a salad club. You're just a complete 180 of everything. And you're so good at connecting with people.
That's right. I didn't realize it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, mindlessly living to full mind living.
What a transformation.
Yeah. I worked well.
No, seriously. That is incredible.
Thank you. I try. I mean, it's also very interesting because as I was working like this, I always felt like everyone else had it all figured. Once I realized like, oh, I need to really think, I thought that everyone had everything figured out and I was just late on the process. But no, actually, when I'm speaking with people at the moment or even before, people are like, oh, I didn't think about it like this. Oh, I have to indeed do this and do that. And it's kind of a relief, but also I'm kind of sad for myself and I was working so hard like, oh, I'm so late. I was feeling so bad, you know, and now I'm glad to be able to share things, to be able to talk with people like this and to help is a really pompous word.
In what sense?
You know, social justice warrior or something like this, kind of, oh, I want to help people in this tone. But if I can put some words on what the people are feeling or want to change, I'm so glad about it because it was a hard work and a painful one. So I'm glad to be able to contribute, to ease the pain to other, to contribute for their growing and everything.
Is your experience common? The French people who move out at 18, move to a different city and study. Is it common to be on autopilot mode?
I have no idea.
You don't know?
I don't know. I don't think so, actually, because when I talked about it with other people, it wasn't so intense. They understood what I went through, but they didn't feel the same. And also, I feel perhaps it's just, I'm always very intense, you know? So I think they can have some parts of it, but not all of it at the same time, because it's just my way of handling things. Just doing the thing fully and completely, even if it takes years. And so, yeah, it's, I think perhaps it's not the healthiest way to do it, but it worked for me. And this is my way of doing it, so.
Well, it's good to take your time. It's not something that's going to be solved in a day.
Yeah, true. But I was like, oh, I'm missing so much time, you know? I was feeling like, okay, I'm spending it by myself 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And I was like, this is long. This is long, but I still didn't feel ready, you know? I felt like, oh, at this date, it will be done. Internally, I knew that I still had work to do. But now I'm just feeling like it's kind of done already. And
that's so good.
Did I miss the date? I don't know, but I feel good.
That's so good. Yay! Talking about autopilot mode and this amazing transformation, what states of mind prevent us from finding home? And actually, that's the whole question.
So yeah, autopilot mode would like prevent us from finding home and also feeling isolated. And if we don't want to not feel isolated anymore, I think some part of depression could be like this. We are in a rough patch and we're just like, either I need to go through it because I deserve it or it's just... Oh, I don't deserve to be loved, or I hate the people around me, so I don't want to feel connected to them. So I think it could be either something we have the control on, if this is the second part, like, I hate the people around me, or, oh, I'm not deserving of it. We can work on it, because it's a conscious thing. Or autopilot mode is by itself unconscious. So we don't realize it. In the moment, we feel we are fulfilled, but we're not. We're just living mindlessly, kind of a sheep. The sheep doesn't think about connecting to the other. Or perhaps I'm just bashing sheep and I don't know. I'm so sorry, sheep. But yeah, we don't think about connecting to the other. We just have everything we need, kind of being introvert or something like this.
Is that synonymous with depression, the mindless living? It sounds a lot like depression to me.
I think it could sound like it, but I'm not a professional of it.
Yeah.
But I was not in a good state of mind when I was living like this. So for me, for my experience, yeah, it would be synonymous. But for the other, perhaps also people can... in a good way, have a...
like an alignment.
Yes. Yeah. Have an alignment to, oh, I'm never thinking about what I do. And from now on, I will be better because I have all the cards in my game to be better, you know, given starting tomorrow. But I didn't have all of the cards, so I had a lot of work to do. And this is why it was kind of a rough patch also, because I realize it and I'm like, well, I'm at the bottom now. So I have the whole bad part to go through before it.
How did you get out of it? It's just time?
It's just time. Yeah. I knew I was working a lot on myself, but it was just my brain thinking about things. You see, you're living with your family, you're living with people, and you see all of the interactions they have. And you see some of them being bad, but you never really think about why. And I thought about the why all the time. I think I had a file in my computer named Mathematical Introspection. Because I was like, okay, this person acts like this, and this makes me sad, but why does she act like this? Because she never learned how to do it another way. She never learned how to say it like this because she's feeling insecure and she's saying things and it makes me feel insecure also, you know? And so this made me take a big step back of everything. And yeah.
Have you ever felt like you have had a home, but you've lost the home?
Yes, I did. As I talked about the bride, like with colorful things, like in my high school place. No, my when I was a kid. Yeah, yeah, my kid's home, my kid's house. Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like I lost it because we just moved. And also I really felt at home in my grandmother's house. And then she passed away. So obviously the house is not here anymore. So yeah.
Do you feel a need to honor those places in your memory or to talk about them affectionately? Because I have this huge need. I write about it constantly. But also for me, it's not just senses of home, or maybe it is senses of home, but I'm too liberal with my definition. Literally every place I've worked at, I have such affection in my heart for it. Even every human being. When you love so intensely, you just want to honor every person. And that can be a very swallowing feeling because people move on, you change. There's just so much constantly that you can't possibly do a good job at loving every person the way you would want to.
Yeah.
And the same as with physical places. I don't know if you've ever had this dilemma, how can I honor the physical places that have taken me in for however long, even if it's just a workplace that you've been at for 2 months?
It's not honor, because for me, honor is too formal. And I wouldn't feel this need, because I was thinking, I'm going to the cemetery to see my grandparents, but it's not out of honor. It's not because I have to. It's not because it's a social convention to go there. Obviously it is. But I want to go there because I love them and just make me feel close with them. I really like flowers. I like to put flowers for them. So yeah, it's not as much about honor that about love, for me at least. I don't feel the need to honor them, but I love them, so it's natural to do it like this. About places also, I remember also on my computer, from the beginning of my work on myself, I had a draft named To Lost Heavens. Yes, about my grandmother's home. So yeah, I feel also the need to write about it sometimes. And I know every time I see something that makes me think about my childhood home, I love it automatically. I know that they had pink carpets on the stairs and they had painted tiles on the chimney. And I love it. Every time I see a painted tile, I love it immensely and directly at the moment. But I don't want to recreate it. I know that it was in my past. I love it. And I love it so much. But it's not because it's in my past and I love it so much that the first time I will have a home, an actual place, like an apartment or something like this, only to myself, I will do exactly the same. Because, yeah, we need to create new memories or new homes or new relationships that are worthy of nostalgia. Yeah, so if it appears sometimes in the things that I write or the things that I talk about, it's just out of love and out of good memories and not about paying respects. Because who do I have to pay respects to? Just like, it needs to be coming from the heart, not from a convention to be really true and not hypocritical.
With having your own place, you don't feel the need to pay tribute to the old places that were home?
No, if I just something that I loved can find its way back on my current place, it will. But it's not mandatory for me to have pink carpet on the stairs of my place. Even though I would love it, actually. But yeah, I don't feel the need anymore to recreate this. Yeah, because you know, with the Lost Paradise, what I wrote, I was searching desperately to find the way back to it because I felt like everything happened before me. I felt that I was late and nothing could top off or equal the feeling that they must have had when they had the big parties in the garden, living in the house that was not in ruins at the moment. But now I know that there's so many other things outside that could be worthy of nostalgia later. So I know that I have everything to discover. Yeah. I'm making a heart with my hands for the listeners.
I want to connect what you're mentioning about nostalgia with adventure. What's the connection between nostalgia and adventure?
When I saw your question, I was thinking there's no link between nostalgia and adventure. So I feel like nostalgia could be either something really sad when, yeah, we're just living for the past because we cannot live in the past. We're just thinking, oh, it was better before, stuff like this. Or we just have, which is what I have now, a good feeling of nostalgia when we just remind memories and we just have a calm smile on our face. Mm. And I didn't really link it to adventures. My adventures would be creating new moments worthy of nostalgia for later. I'm just preparing for later, like a pension plan with memories. So I don't have nostalgia for the past in a bad way because I'm not anymore dreaming about Lost Paradise as I was when I was perhaps 18 and realizing everything that I've missed already. Mm. But it's normal to be nostalgic of things that you weren't born for. Yeah, we cannot do anything. Mm-hmm. I guess some people are missing the Franks time or the Celtics times, but they weren't born for it also, so they can just go into parties about it. So yeah, I'm linking nostalgia and adventures would just be for future nostalgia. And also keeping in mind perhaps other adventures people have done in the past, because I know my grandparents have traveled a lot. Weirdly,
is
for the time.
Is that where you get it from?
I don't know. Okay. I never thought about it. But yeah, my grandparents of my dad's side traveled a lot. They went to Egypt in car. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
France.
Yes. Yeah, they're crazy people. I'm just like, oh, this is crazy. Like they went in like the 60s or not even, like perhaps in the 50s. I don't know how they did it. And yeah, they traveled a lot. They've seen many things. For at least the time, it was a lot. So yeah, I don't know. Why would I want to be an adventurer? This is another question. This is not about home. You're tricking me. I cannot think about an answer so far. Just, I want to learn all the time. Perhaps it's linked with nostalgia. I want to live a life that I deem worthy of remembering according to my standards, because every person's life should be worthy of remembering for their standards. And for me, it would be really crazy things. And I already know that when I'm stopping from a trip, I'm like, oh, I did that. I was really crazy. Mm. Like, oh, 2 weeks ago, we climbed a mountain. This was really crazy. This is not really nostalgia. This is just reminding good memories. And it's already what I have every day here. So that's great.
What about when you have stretches of time that are very dark? I've been through a period like that as well. Mm-hmm. When I look back to a 5-year stretch, it doesn't really feel worthy of remembering to me. Mm-hmm. It was just a miserable period. How do you see your own period of being in autopilot mode? Is that worthy of remembering? Is it the redemptive aspect of it that you find worthy of remembering? Or do you kind of just see that as a pathway to how you're living now, which is worthy of remembering?
I think even the pathway of how I'm living now is worthy of remembering because it's work that I've done and I'm proud of the work that I've done. Also, even for you, I think even in the darkest place that we've been, we're here now talking to a podcast or a radio in Gyumri.
I know, crazy.
This is crazy. And the path we made from the dark times to now is also what makes it even more worthy of remembering. You have perhaps more respect or more impressed by people who come from really dark times, dark places in life, who achieve as much as someone who already had everything at one point. Even the dark times are worthy of remembering to realize how strong we are and also how grateful we should be of just being here and enjoying life and living our own adventures at the moment.
And what is it that draws you to adventure? The first time I met you, we were talking about your desire, your life's goal to be an adventurer. What did I say? I was saying how I like travel, but... traveling with purpose, and that was the discussion we had.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, traveling with purpose. At first, it was specifically something because, you know, everyone is always asking, like, oh, what do you want to do later? What job do you want to do? And I don't have a real job that I aspire to do, you know?
Journalism?
Yeah, it could be one of them, but, you know, it's not for the sake of writing things. It's just for expressing, covering subjects, and discovering new things, always for discovery, always for learning new things and having funny story to tell. Also, when we go home, we're just like, oh, you know what I did today? I climbed a mountain. I did a poets group. Oh, we did a salad. And, you know, always even the smallest thing could be so funny. Like, just, yeah, thinking about 5, 20, 24 years old person going into groceries when they have full restaurants around them and do salads, you know, and eating the cold. It's so funny, actually, to say. It's an adventure by itself. What was the question? Oh, yeah. No, you asked the purpose. Where did it come from? Yeah, at the beginning, it was just, I don't want to say, oh, I want to be an accountant, because it's not true. I did studies, but I'm not sure that the studies are leading me to what I want to do. And also, I felt kind of, you know, ashamed of telling, perhaps I like artistic works. Okay, I love journalism. I would love to be a writer, because I feel it could be some kind of pompous also. Also, I was kind of afraid of jinxing myself. So I'm also learning, because we did the writer's group and it showed me that if we can just work together also. So it broke another of my barriers. So I'm really glad about it. And also, yeah, adventure is, we get the vibe, we get the direction, but it can be anything. And I don't want to be enclosed in one path, you know? If I say to someone, oh, I want to be a journalist, and a few years later, I'm not a journalist, I don't want it to be kind of an unkept promise, you know? Even to say to a stranger who doesn't care about it at all. Also, it's to know my direction and to have the direction and not stray from it.
I like that. When you say that you're an adventurer, I guess that could never be an unkept promise. We're always growing and changing and discovering new things and morphing into a different person every day.
Yeah, an adventurer could mean so many things to everyone.
Yeah.
Just like the Sahara Club for me is an adventure. So it could work also, as well as going to another country, climbing a mountain. It's adventures all of the same. It's just, yeah, living and having things interesting to say.
And I like that perspective of seeing adventure behind everything, even something so simple as doing grocery shopping and having a salad in the cold.
Yes.
I love how you see that as so fun and a story and an adventure.
And you know, you saw, for everyone, it was so fun. We had a new member in our salad club that is totally legal. And he was so excited also. And he planned for the next meal and he planned his own thing to bring to the salad. And so, yeah, it's a common adventure, getting people in as we advance. So that's great.
And it's nice that salad can allow us to share vulnerability as well.
Oh, yeah, true. And not a past. Ago, yeah, past salad club.
Salad club meeting. It's was really special.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even smaller things. We don't need to do things that will arrive in a magazine or something like this. Sharing our vulnerability with people we officially barely know is amazing. This is a self-adventure, self-discovery adventure. This was crazy. The podcast also is crazy. I'm just saying so many things that I haven't said to anyone online.
What made you agree to be on it and to answer some pretty heavy-hitting questions?
Because, first of all, a friend asked me, so who would I be to say no to a friend?
Oh, for sure.
And I love to talk. I'm a professional yapper, but no, I really like to share things like this, and I feel like, yeah, it's getting us closer. Also, I'm not ashamed, as I was saying, you know, jinxing myself or just being kind of ashamed of saying, oh, I want to be a writer. I want to express myself. How dare she? So now I'm just free of it and I can just say it. And we talked about it when you talked to me about the podcast at the beginning. I was like, oh, when we think about ourselves saying things like this out loud and being recorded and everything, we feel so perhaps weak. We're afraid of appearing weak. But when we hear other podcasts, when we see autobiography, I just heard a podcast of a writer like this, and she had interviews and she was like, I'm a bad person, I'm doing this and that and everything. And I'm like, she's not ashamed of herself. She's fully free. It's her life and it doesn't diminish her work, her life or anything. So it doesn't diminish me either. So I'm good. Okay. I don't know. Okay. It's perhaps not my place, like being here, but why did you want to have the podcasts? Like, why did you want to ask people about home?
I think because I find it so complicated. That's what this whole journey is for me being in Armenia. My idea of home is that we can't find it on earth. I mean, I bring my faith into everything. So I think we can find it only in God. And I experience it in moments of prayer. And I think prayer is one eternal moment. It's not just 5 minutes locking yourself in a room and talking to God. I truly think that it's eternal. And that's my sense of home, is being in God's presence. But still, I can say that. But I think the fact that I'm on earth, there's this sense that you're a pilgrim. And I think I have all of these questions around my identity that's really complicated for me. Being in Armenia has been very challenging. Havik was right how he's saying Armenians come here with the expectation of being welcomed as family. And then the reality is that you're treated like a foreigner and people are like, go back to your country. It's so much more prosperous. Why would you leave America? Why would you leave Australia? So that makes it complicated understanding your ethnic identity, because growing up as a diaspora Armenian, you're told, oh, we're Armenian, we have to stick together, we have to fight. My whole life has been so influenced by my Armenian culture. And then coming here and just feeling way more Australian than I ever felt. It's just really complicated. And I think making sense of my own life, the sense of home, feeling like it was missing for a long time and discovering it recently. But at the same time, it's always been there, because if God is home, God has always been there, regardless of whether I even knew it or whether I believed in him. And I just find it fascinating. I think it's one of the best questions to ask someone. It tells you so much about a person, but I'm trying to work it out for myself too.
Yeah, I'm beginning your interview now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't realize how hard it could be also for diaspora and Armenian to not feel as welcome as one hoped.
As we wrap up, I want to go back to the point that has so stood out to me. It's just such a poetic, beautiful idea. And I have a question relating to it. So you mentioned how you want to live a life that's worthy of remembering, worthy of cultivating a future nostalgia towards. And my question is, how can we make our idea of home always come alive rather than viewing it as a memory?
So I think as for the nostalgia part, we should always work on. Every day needs to be a creation of what we want. No, we cannot climb a mountain every day, but every day we should do things that we will deem afterwards worthy of nostalgia. And for relationships, because I think home could be, the three points were shared vulnerability, emotions, people, and love. So people and love, as you said also, is home temporarily or fleeting? It could be. It could be so much more temporary if we don't put in the work for it. We have friends, and that's amazing to have friends, to have surroundings, to have love, but home is, for me and other people. It's a shared thing. It cannot be only me. So I have to do things for it to work. It's like a bridge. And each part of the bridge should be well preserved and should be holding up. And so if we just let it like this, home will just become a broken bridge. And so yeah, every day should be about connecting and making other also feel at home. Not only just for us, because obviously, when we're feeling bad and everything, our home will make us feel at home and feel better and feel warm and back on our feet. But we also need to be there for the other persons.
And I think there's a liberation to that, not just looking so much at yourself, what feels like home to me. But I think when you look outwards and focus on how you can build a home for other people, then that's very freeing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, because we can be both receiving and giving also. And I think it's giving a lot to be giving. It's really important for humans to just be giving, not only to receive, but to make the world a better place for the other person we love, and even though for the person we don't have any attachment to.
And thank you, my dear, for giving me this amazing gift of being on my podcast.
Thank you for having me on your podcast. This is a worthy of nostalgia memory. Girl, I was so in a podcast. This is amazing.
In Gymri, of all
in
places.
In Gymri, in Radio Mariam, with you, like on a Monday morning. This is crazy.
And you're from France, I'm from Australia, and we just connected, crossed paths.
That's true. That's crazy.
Insane. Well, thank you again.
Yeah, it's just like random path crossing.
Yeah.
And matching.
And the most special one. I'm so grateful. Okay,
maybe
we'll wrap it up here, my dear.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Bisous.